40. Greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to the Harambee Stars of Kenya, who lifted the CECAFA Cup football trophy. Joining us now with that story, as well as more African football news, is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Kenya emerged champions after beating Zanzibar 3-2 on post penalties. The two sides had tied 2-2 at extra time, forcing the winner to be decided through spot kicks. Kenyan goalkeeper Patrick Matasi was the hero of the game after he blocked three penalties to hand the Harambee Stars their 13th title in the regional tournament at the Kenyatta Stadium, Machakos, on Sunday. Nick Mwendwa is the president of the Federation of Kenyan Football.
This team will get 11.5 million shillings. I have not even calculated how much it is. This has never been done in Kenyan football. So they are enthusiastic. They have been taken care of and they've done their job.
Uganda came from a goal down to grab third place after downing Burundi 2-1 in the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup playoff. Staying with football news, Egypt's Soccer Federation said on Sunday that the country's national team will meet Portugal and Bulgaria in friendly games as part of preparations for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The federation said in a statement that Egypt will play Portugal on March 23rd and Bulgaria 4 days later, with both matches to take place in Zurich, Switzerland. Gabon international Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is one goal closer to reaching triple figures for Borussia Dortmund in the German Bundesliga. The 28-year-old found the back of the net in a 2-1 win over Hoffenheim on Saturday evening. Aubameyang, who has scored 21 goals in 23 appearances across all competitions this season, has continued to attract strong interest from clubs across Europe, with both Everton and Liverpool linked with his services. From Germany to England, where Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp insisted that Egypt international Mohamed Salah is in a fine physical shape and doesn't need to be rested. Salah had been crowned November's Premier League Player of the Month after scoring 7 goals in 4 matches to continue his spectacular form this season for the Reds. In women's football, the Flamingos of Nigeria, Botswana of South Africa and the Black Maidens of Ghana urged their opponents to reach the final round of the qualifying series for the 2018 FIFA Under-17 Women's World Cup this past weekend. Nigeria Under-17 women team progressed to the final round on away goal rule after they were held to a 0-0 draw by Ethiopia at the Samuel Obumedia Stadium. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Samson mentioned Mohamed Salah of Egypt and Liverpool and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon and Borussia Dortmund in his report. Those two players, as well as Sadio Mane of Senegal and Liverpool, are on the 3-man shortlist for the Confederation of African Football's 2017 African Player of the Year Award, which will be presented January 4th in Accra, Ghana. The 25-year-old Salah was recently named the BBC African Footballer of the Year for 2017. On Sunday, Salah scored his English Premier League leading 14th goal of the season in Liverpool's 4-0 road victory over Bournemouth. Mo Salah also helped Egypt qualify for its first World Cup since 1990. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, meanwhile, was named CAF's African Footballer of the Year in 2015. With more on CAF's 2017 African Player of the Year prize, Here's reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has announced in Accra, Ghana's capital, that Mohamed Salah, Pierre Aubameyang, and Sadio Mane are the final three for the 2017 CAF Awards African Player of the Year. Prior to the commencement of the event, skillful drama boys entertained the gathering at the Splash Movenbeek Hotel in the city center. Former Ghanaian internationals Sami Kufuor, Ibrahim Sande, Maxwell Kunadu and others attended the ceremony. Former boxer Azuma Nelson was also at the function. Black Stars coach Kwesi Appiah in an interview with me during the occasion.
I think the three of them deserve the nominations.
Out of the three, who do you think will leave the main award?
Personally, I think Salah has done well this year. In the matter of that, at the club side, you know, he's doing so great for Liverpool. And then with the national team, you know, most of the goals, either he scores or he assists. And, you know, he's been able to, you know, take them to the World Cup. So
the award is taking place in Accra on the 4th of January. Mm-hmm. Are you disappointed if you don't see one of your players?
No, I mean, none of our players were nominated. But we're talking about this year. And this year, from May, you know, the team has been in recession. You know, we're trying to build a team, and our players have not had any consistency. And when you're building a team, you don't look at Anders now. You look at, you know, Anders, you know, a year or after.
Do you have the hope that maybe next awards, one of your players will show up?
Yeah, I hope so. That's the main intention, making sure you build a team that can, you know, make sure they bring Anders into the country.
The overall winner will be announced at the CAF Awards Gala on January 4, 2018 in Accra, Ghana. For the Sunnyside Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
Thanks, Kwabena. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, also unveiled the short lists for several other award categories on Monday in Accra. Taking a look at a few of them, the nominees for 2017 African Women's Player of the Year are Asisat Oshola of Nigeria, Christina Gatlana of South Africa, and Gabrielle Abudi Ongwene of Cameroon. Now, Oshola previously was named African Women's Player of the Year in 2014 and 2016. The African Coach of the Year nominees for 2017 are Gernot Rohr, the German who guides the World Cup-bound Super Eagles of Nigeria, Hector Cooper, the Argentine who manages the World Cup-bound Pharaohs of Egypt, and Hussein Amouta, the Moroccan who manages Wydad Casablanca Football Club. African champion Wydad Casablanca represented the continent at the just-concluded FIFA Club World Cup in the United Arab Emirates, finishing sixth out of seven teams. European champion Real Madrid of Spain successfully defended its FIFA Club World Cup title over the weekend, beating Brazil's Grêmio 1-0 in the final on a goal by Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo. Getting back to the 2017 CAF Awards in Ghana, the three nominees for Africa's National Team of the Year are Cameroon, Egypt, and Nigeria. While Nigeria and Egypt both qualified for next year's World Cup in Russia, many Cameroonian football fans were disappointed their national team did not make it to Russia 2018 after winning a fifth African title in Gabon in February. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, reporter Moki Edwin Kinzika tells us how Cameroon's Nations Cup triumph set off celebrations in the country.
Thousands of fans celebrated on the streets of the capital, Yaoundé. They hit spoons, dishes, drums, and blew trumpets to celebrate Cameroon's championship victory at the Africa Cup of Nations. This fan, Njitap Anatol, says he is very proud because Cameroon has defeated Egypt by 2-1. He says the Lions can beat any team in the world. Cameroon went into the 16-team tournament with low expectations after 7 regulars called up to participate refused to play. They said they were too busy with important games for their European teams. But others, like goalkeeper Fabrice Ondua, who plays for a Spanish club, did show up winning accolades.
Ondua is a grand sportif.
Football fan Pauline Cheju says Ondua is a great sportsman. He is sticky like chewing gum. When he takes hold of the ball, he does not let it go. Victory has redeemed Cameroon's coach Hugo Broos, who faced criticism after 7 team regulars refused to play. Broos said he did not want players who may not give their best. 15 of the players on this year's Cameroon team were playing in a continental tournament for the first time. One of Cameroon's Premier League coaches, Elundu Kizito, said the team showed patriotism and professionalism.
Lorsqu'on rentre dans l'honnêteté professionnelle, de manière intellectuelle, on comprend que...
He says, although Hugo Broos has never trained a national football team of any nation and faced difficulties assembling trusted players and regulars, he still found the winning formula. He says all coaches should learn from Broos's example. This anthem to the Lions by Cameroon's military band blasts through speakers at the head office of Cameroon's Football Federation. Hundreds of supporters are here awaiting transport to the airport to give the team a hero's welcome. Awa Fonka Augustine, governor of Cameroon's Western Region, is one of the fans ready to welcome the team home.
A great day. This is wonderful. Unexpected. I think the majority of us saw this team from the beginning and we didn't believe that they could come up with these wonderful results. Today we see what faith and determination can do. I think they made all of us proud.
Besides winning the Continental Trophy, Cameroon striker Christian Bassogok was voted best player of the tournament, Fabrice Ondua best goalkeeper, and team captain Benjamin Mukanjo, man of the match. It was Cameroon's first time to lift the AFCON trophy since 2002. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Thanks, Moki. Moki mentioned how Cameroon's Belgian coach, Hugo Broos, was redeemed by the Nations Cup triumph in February. Well, being a football coach in Africa is rarely a long-term proposition. The 65-year-old Broos got the boot earlier this month. In more African football news, South Africa defeated neighbor Lesotho 2-1 in the final of the COSAFA Under-20 Championships in Kitwe, Zambia. Lyle Foster and Kamagelo Sambo had the goals for South Africa's Amajita, while Retebile Mokokwane scored for Lesotho. Egypt's national Under-20 football team, the Young Pharaohs, was invited to Zambia as a guest team, and the Egyptian boys defeated Uganda 3-1. In the third place match. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski. So please Keep on the sunny side.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Voice of America.
I had the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was coming out of Frankfurt, Maine. I had the voice of America calling on my wavelength. Singing, come back, baby, come back. Come back.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty seasonal greetings, Andrew.
Sporty seasonal greetings to you as well, Sonny. It's good to be here.
Festive atmosphere here in Washington and other places all over the world. What's trending on this Monday?
Oh, it was a festive atmosphere across the pond, as they say in the United Kingdom.
I like that, across the pond.
Across the pond, yeah, where the BBC named their 2017 Sportsperson of the Year, Mo Farah, of course, winning the 10,000 meter at the World Championships. He won his final two track events before he announced his retirement. But he's not actually retiring. He's switching gears to the marathon. So while he won't be running on the track, he'll be running on the streets. Big year for Mo Farah, so he gets that award. A bit of a surprise. A lot of people thinking Anthony Joshua could have picked it up. But at the end of the day, Mo Farah wins the award. And it was, it was a year that was notable for him for all the right reasons. The ceremony this weekend was trending on social media because it was notable for all the wrong reasons.
Okay.
It all stemmed from Mo Farah's appearance via live video with his stepdaughter and his son by his side. Farah explained that he couldn't be there in person to accept the award because three of his children were sick, so he was beamed in remotely. And it was pretty apparent that his son was not feeling well because as Farah was being interviewed before the awards announcement, his son Hussein starts to throw a bit of a temper tantrum. He's crying. He's trying to squirm away from his father. He's kind of climbing all over him. Fans flooded social media to say, as a parent, I feel your pain. And a lot of people saying, who knew? Mo Farah, this amazing champion, and I, we both have kids that won't behave themselves. So a lot of people saying they have that in common. But a lot of people noting, too, that Mo Farah handled that situation with ease. So not only is he a star on the track, but he's a star father as well. And some joked that Hussein deserves the Sports Person of the Year award for those acrobatics climbing all over his father during his outburst. His stepdaughter, Rihanna, who was next to him, saved the day, though, removing her brother from the shot. So that was the first thing that happened.
Well, that kind of reminds me a little bit, Andrew, of Steph Curry a few years ago during the NBA Finals when his daughter was climbing all over the podium and was antsy and moving all over the place, but the reporters loved it. They loved it.
Kids have a habit of doing that, and they steal the show when they do. And this would have been a show-stealing moment if not for what happened next. And it gets worse, Sonny, because later on in the ceremony, of course, Mo Farah was indeed announced as the winner of the award. His daughter, Rihanna, who's next to him, presents him with the trophy. He's about to give his acceptance speech, and the live video feed freezes and goes blank. And instead of seeing Mo Farah on the screen, we see a blue background with the words "signal loss detected."
Ooh.
Not words that you want to see during a live shot. One of the TV presenters, to her credit, without missing a beat, she says, "I think that just about sums up Mo's evening, doesn't it? Maybe it was his son Hussein who pulled the plug." Fans, of course, online thought it was hilarious. A lot of people describing it as an epic fail. And my favorite joke, someone asked, does that mean that the actual sports person of the year is signal loss detected? I think signal loss detected should be the 2017 sports person. But even aside from all those technical glitches, Mo Farah picks up that award, and congratulations to him.
Maybe kind of a sentimental pick, you think, Andrew? I mean, he did not have the year that he had, say, at the Olympics last year when he won, I think he won 2 gold medals in the 5,000 and 10,000. But maybe they're saying, we recognize you for your great athletic career.
I think so, with the retirement announcement. Certainly a popular pick. He was the fan favorite in voting, so that played a big role. And I think as he transitions into the marathon, fans are sad to see that chapter of his life on the track end, but are really excited to see what he can do with those 26.2 miles.
Well, the National Football League this year, Andrew, certainly not without controversy, and I understand NFL owner making headlines.
Yeah, a lot of controversy in the National Football League and a lot of controversy in the United States about sexual harassment and assault. This has been a conversation that's been going on for the past few months that has impacted every facet of American life, Sonny, in entertainment, in politics, in business, and in sports as well. And that is what people are talking about today. They're talking about Jerry Richardson, who is the founder and owner of the National Football League's Carolina Panthers. Now, last week, it was revealed that Richardson was being investigated for several alleged instances of workplace misconduct, including sexual harassment, and a claim that Richardson used a racial slur against an African-American employee. And Richardson allegedly or apparently offered cash payments in exchange for confidentiality in these instances, many equating that with basically hush money that he paid out. Richardson has been in the center of controversy in the past. He's reportedly preferred that African-American players on his team not wear their hair in dreadlocks. He told star quarterback Cam Newton that he prefer if he did not get any tattoos or piercings. And he has talked openly about punishing players who participate in the National Football League national anthem protests. So with all this controversy going on and the announcement on Friday that Jerry Richardson was being investigated, he made a surprising announcement on Sunday that at the end of the NFL season, he is selling the Carolina Panthers. Mixed reaction from fans, some especially in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the team is, say that Richardson's done a lot, not just for the team, but for the city, but many other people saying that he needs to go. And in fact, some people were unhappy with Richardson's announcement, saying that he was selling the team, but made no mention of the allegations against him. But it does show that these actions do have consequences, and the consequence here is that he will be selling the team. A lot of question marks about who might buy the team. I've heard the name Manning floating around. Of course, Eli Manning and Peyton Manning, the brothers who are quarterbacks. Eli's still playing. Peyton Manning is retired. But there's some thought that they might buy that team. So that's the next step in this saga. Who might step in and purchase the team?
Andrew, I was doing a little background reporting on 81-year-old Jerry Richardson, unique among NFL owners for one special reason. He played in the league, albeit briefly. He played 2 years for the Baltimore Colts in 1959 and 1960. And one of those years, they won the NFL title. He played on the team with the great Johnny Unitas. That's his playing claim to fame, but now making headlines for other reasons.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons, for sure.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left in the program, Andrew. Anything else trending?
Yes. Well, you may not know the name Mame Bynoe now, but you most certainly will, Sonny, in February, because over the weekend, Mame Bynoe became the first black woman to qualify for the U.S. Olympic speed skating team. And here are the stats. This is absolutely amazing. She's just 17 years old. She was born in Ghana before immigrating to the United States, and she has a D.C. connection because she lives in Reston, Virginia, just right outside of Washington, D.C. The video of her qualifying has gone viral, as well as her reaction. She is awestruck that she has made her first Olympics, so we'll be looking out for Mame Bynoe come February in Pyeongchang, South Korea.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the December 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Misha Dubinsky. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Syria and Iraq, ISIS will soon be history. But even as it struggles to stay alive and relevant, it is critical that it not be allowed to regroup and flourish elsewhere. Terrorist groups with safe haven are able to export their violence around the world, striking our homeland and those of our closest allies. We saw al-Qaeda do this from Afghanistan in the 1990s through 9/11. More recently, we saw ISIS do the same from Iraq and Syria, said Ambassador at Large and Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales before a Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee recently. For that reason, the United States is working with partners in North Africa in order to deny terrorists the ability to operate in the continent's vast spaces where government reach is lacking. To mitigate the threat posed by terrorist groups in North Africa, we are helping fragile states build capacity, as well as leveraging highly capable states' counterterrorism expertise. We want to develop our African partners' counterterrorism capabilities to a point where they need not rely on assistance from the United States to defend themselves, said Ambassador Sales. The United States works with its partner states to improve their ability to investigate, prosecute, and adjudicate terrorism crimes. To stop terrorist travel, we are focusing on improving border security through information sharing at international borders, particularly with regard to known and suspected terrorists. Our efforts to prevent radicalization and recruitment of individuals into terrorist groups include delegitimizing the violent ideology they espouse. Countering radicalization in a way that is tailored to each North African country is another critical component of a comprehensive approach to counterterrorism, said Ambassador Sales. We undertake these efforts in cooperation with European allies, other key partners, and multilateral institutions to amplify their impact. The United States uses a range of tools and resources and works closely with the governments of North Africa and other partners to comprehensively address terrorism, said Ambassador Sales. Our training and resources are directly assisting partners to disrupt terrorist operations, prosecute terrorist suspects, and protect borders.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.